John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We've got a four-pack of wristbands to give away to the 46th Annual National Wild Turkey Federation Convention coming up at Opryland February the 16th through the 20th. I will be there. Looking forward to that coming up next Friday.
Nice.
Be caller number three at 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller number three will win a four-pack of wristbands to the 46th Annual National Wild Turkey Federation Convention at Opryland February the 16th. Through the 20th, 615-737-1025. Thanks to Charles Robinson for joining us in the last segment. We'll be joined by Hal Gill, Preds radio analyst, coming up at 9:30. So looking forward to that.
Charles did apologize for his fading voice. Usually Charles' voice is booming. He said, "I have bad cell reception in my hotel room. I didn't realize that was still a thing in 2022. So
it's all good, Charles. You know. We appreciate you.
Charles being quiet is just not something that in my life I've really experienced much.
By the way, Team USA Hockey up 7-0 right now on the Chinese national team. Brandon Yip, former Nashville Predator, the captain of the Chinese men's national hockey team. Chris Chelios' son apparently is on this team as well. So I guess apparently if you have played in China in some of their leagues that they have, you are eligible to be on their Olympic team. They just missed a one-timer.
They actually could have been on the board right there. Like, that could have been a goal.
But it looks like Team USA is going to win this one. 7-0 with, you know,
20 seconds.
A minute left. Yeah. So, good stuff.
Interesting, though. Who you did not know you would be watching a former Nashville Predator.
I did not know I'd be watching
China
Brandon
today.
Yip play today, but here we are. By the way, it's 8-0 now.
Oh, my gosh. They got another goal in with 12 seconds left. Jeez.
it's so hard for me to really care about Olympic hockey with the NHL players not in there. And I know a lot of people come back with the, well, what about the 1980 U.S. Miracle on Ice team? That's great. Number one, I wasn't alive then.
It was on tape delay.
And number two, it's a little bit different now. I just don't care without the NHL players being in there, which, yeah, again, is why I think the NHL players going is so good for the game. I understand why they're not going this year, but I'm hoping in 2026 they're back in there.
Yeah. And again, as of the Lake Placid 1980, that had never happened. So it's like, kind of like put the toothpaste back in the tube. Once you do it and we see this incredible tournament with the absolute best players in the world, then you go back to not doing it. It's a tough watch, man.
It is a tough watch. But congratulations to Team USA. Looks like they're going to win up 8-0 in this game. What do you think of the Lovie Smith situation? Obviously, you know, we talked about his record the other day. He actually did a pretty good job as head coach of the Bears. You get to a Super Bowl with Rex Grossman as your quarterback. As Charles brought up, you're in an NFC title game with Jay Cutler. You lose to the Packers there. And then it kind of unravels from there. And you go to Tampa, doesn't work out. And then Illinois was just... it was a disaster for Lovie Smith. But he's been around for a long time. Obviously, he's been a head coach before. I think the Texans could have done way worse than hiring Lovie Smith here. But I just don't trust the Texans that this is serious. Like, it kind of feels like they just ended up settling on Lovie Smith. They really want to hire Josh McCown, but are scared of the blowback if they do hire Josh McCown. And I kind of feel like Josh McCown is going to be their head coach next year. It's kind of amazing to me. Not next year, but the year after.
Yeah. And if that's the case, then just hire him.
Yeah, just hire him.
I don't know. It looks ridiculous. We'll see how it plays out. Hey, I never would have guessed that David Culley was a one-year Band-Aid either, and he did, to me, nothing to get fired. I mean, if anything, no. I think he acquitted himself pretty well. Yeah, Lovie Smith is a guy who, based on his NFL track record, he does deserve another chance to be a head coach in this league. You go take a job. There's plenty of coaches over the past 20-plus years who have struggled at Illinois to get it going. And we'll see if Burt can do it, now. The Zucker, had a rough go. Had a little uprising, a couple good teams right around, right around 04, 05. But, it's a tough place in that league right now to win. So, you just separate that from the rest of his track record. That's recruiting. It's just a totally different thing. As an NFL coach, he did pretty good. So, he has talked about, of course, Pep Hamilton is his OC, about maybe Pep Hamilton being heir apparent, or at least getting an opportunity of his own, which I think he should get at some point. But it's just, right now they are the worst organization in the NFL, and that is not an easy title to hold, they deserve it.
I don't know. Have they surpassed the Jags? It's close.
I think so. And it is close, but you look at everything—the Casario stuff. That's and true. Just the Watts. Honestly, a year ago or whatever, not long ago, it wasn't close the other way.
Yeah.
But even with the Jags, Urban Meyer, Trent Baalke having pictures of all kinds of people, they can't touch the Texans right now.
No, it's unbelievable. And if you're a Titans fan, you look around and you're saying, all right, well, right now you can eliminate two teams in your division. Like, the Texans are not doing anything. The Jags, barring Trevor Lawrence just going nuts next year, probably not doing anything. Like, it's just you and the Colts. And right now the Colts have Carson Wentz as their quarterback. Now, I have a feeling that might change. Like, I keep going back to our conversation yesterday with the Colts. I have a feeling he's going to take a swing for something, Chris Ballard. Like, he's feeling it. He's feeling the pressure. Can take a swing for something at the quarterback position.
Yeah. So, a swing, stuff we've been talking about here. Yeah.
If it presents itself.
Well, if he connects.
Oh, boy. Can you imagine what the reaction will be from Titans fans? Not only if Indy gets one of those guys, but if Indy gets one of those guys and the Titans didn't even try. Can you imagine what the reaction will be? It will not be good.
It won't be. It will not be good. Yeah, there will be no level of, hey, everybody, keep in mind, the last few years have been good. That's not gonna fly.
Go from an Andrew Luck number 12 Colts jersey to an Aaron Rodgers number 12 Colts jersey. That'd be easy to see.
And he can. It's just a short 4-hour drive from his new home in Nashville too.
Yeah, right up the road from Franklin. Yeah. A little bit further south.
Probably I guess gone maybe to, four.
Could have moved to Hendersonville or something. Been a little easier. But yeah,
that's right. Up your way would have been a little better for him.
Yeah, it would have. Lots of land up that way too.
Yeah.
Who knows?
How's maybe that new lawn?
Well, we'll find out.
Pretty soon, right? You're not far out, hopefully.
We are not. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Hal Gill, Preds radio analyst. We'll get his thoughts on the Preds' performance last night. Look ahead to Saturday's game against Winnipeg as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in the great Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, what's going on? How are we doing?
I'm doing well, fellas. How you guys doing?
We're great. We appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, Charles, Super Bowl week, what do you think of the matchup? How excited are you for this matchup between the Bengals and the Rams?
I'm excited. It's probably not the two teams that maybe the NFL would have chosen to be. LA's great. The league's saying, hey, great. Number two market, SoFi Stadium. Is going to be packed with Rams fans. I'm sure they love that. Maybe Cincinnati is not a typical team that, from a market perspective, the NFL would want to see in here. But they've been a good story. I think Joe Burrow is definitely somebody that Jamar Chase, that guy, those two guys have been, great story, great marketing point for the NFL. And I always love when you know, young quarterbacks make a run like this in the playoffs. I don't know. It's the matchup itself, I think, is going to be pretty interesting, because just on paper, when you look at the two rosters, as particularly offensively talented as Cincinnati is, you know, the Rams, they're starting 22. It's just, it's monstrous. And there's like 9 first-round picks, and they're 22 starters. Multiple guys where you're like, yeah, that's probably a Hall of Famer. And, you know, the Stafford story's been great for the Rams. But I'm picking the Bengals. I really like just the momentum that they have right now. I think Burrow's, something special is going on with him. And I know we've gotten, that cliche is already so overused, the whole it factor with him, but I don't know any other way to describe it. He's, the first time I ever interacted with him was the Manning Passing Academy back when Herbert was going into his last year at Oregon. And I had gone over there to see Justin Herbert. And I remember Burrow being there. Weirdly enough, I didn't really know who he was, and I wondered, I'm like, why are there like 30 media members surrounding this guy? And it was because he was the LSU quarterback, right? And the Manning Passing Academy is in Metairie. And so I kind of ended up paying a little more attention to him than I had. He looked great out there, and you start asking around, like, oh, he's like a third-round pick, whatever. He held his own with Herbert, I remember, at that event, and then obviously is one of the greatest college football seasons in history at LSU, and what he's done on the NFL level just feels like a continuation of really that expanse of a few years for him. And it's just kind of intriguing to watch him. We talked about Mahomes. Oh, Mahomes is going to own the next 10 years in the AFC. Maybe Josh Allen will challenge him, or Lamar Jackson. Well, guess what? Burrow did the one thing Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen could. He beat Mahomes. He got himself into the Super Bowl in year two. It's, I don't know. It's a heck of a story for Cincinnati, and should lend a lot of, I guess, good feelings to teams that franchises can turn themselves around pretty quickly.
Yeah, so with both these teams, you know, it's kind of like different – things you can take away. Obviously, the Stafford thing is, hey, if you have a chance, go get a quarterback. And of course, this is a relevant topic around this city right now, Charles. But also, I look at the Bengals. They took a lot of crap for not getting protection for Joe Burrow coming off his ACL. But sometimes, I mean, you could look at them and say, see, if you have elite skill, you will find a way. And then with the Rams, like you said, they are loaded with like potential Hall of Famers. Like, they're so top heavy. Like, I feel like a lot of teams are a little bit more focused on depth, right? Just because, you know, because you have to assume some injuries. But I don't know, is this lucky, or like, are there things that have been done here that you think will resonate in the league and be, you know, copycatted, I guess?
The Rams, a lot of people are talking about that, about the whole hey, trade draft assets and go get proven players now. And I think there's some merit to that. You talk to some GMs, they're like, you get it. They're like, yeah, I get it. You watch them. And there are some GMs who are like, hey, you know, if you're willing to pay the contracts, like, that's sort of the impediment. People can trade draft picks and go get top-tier players. But the way most general managers focus that acquisition is through salary cap ramifications. I mean, the Rams are basically, when you go back to that Super Bowl team, I went through their camp in the summer, and I talked to McVay and Musneed, the general manager. One of the first things I said was, go back and look at your roster when you walked off that Super Bowl loss. Like, you flipped a large portion of this roster and shed, like, contracts that I never could have dreamt you'd be walking away from. After that Super Bowl, you know, Todd Gurley, one of the worst contracts in the league. Jared Goff ended up being one of the worst contracts in the league, and they just started burning draft capital to flip it as quickly as they could. It's an aggressive approach. I don't know that most teams really want to build that way. I think most teams would still rather accentuate their roster through targeted trades and things like that. But, no, this mentality to just go get the pieces that they feel like they need to win right now is absolutely something that resonates inside their building. I just don't know how many teams are going to want to. The thing is, if you missed, then you were really in trouble. Like, if Stafford had not worked out there, they would have been in a world of hurt. And we're talking about
it felt like, even when I went through, I'm like, if this Stafford thing doesn't work out, like, they're fired. Like, you guys are totally going to get fired. and instead, you know, it really does work out, but it doesn't always go that way. And I think we can even go back through history and see teams that do the all-in push. Sometimes they don't have everything turn up the way they have. And then conversely, it's interesting with the Bengals because it's like a six-person, like, basically when you talk about the personnel department and scouting, it's like six people. This is the smallest, by far, the smallest, like, personnel and scouting department. And they've hit on a lot of first-round picks. Joe, you brought it up. Like, there's this idea they had to take Sewell, the Oregon tackle that Detroit took. But then they went with Jamar Chase. And there has been downside. Like, look at Burrow and the punishment he took against the Titans. It's a pretty bad offensive line. They're going to have to spend a lot of time on that. But they've been able to overcome it because they have just a great set of special teams players, three great wide receivers, you know, really good running back, Joe Mixon, who is in some ways the spine of that offense. And when Joe Mixon runs it really well, man, they are really hard to beat. And, you know, it's defensively, they've made some additions. You know, DJ Reader was someone they spent money on in free agency. It's just interesting just to see that there's two different ways to build a team. I just can't get over the fact that this team had two wins. Like, they were closing out a season and heading to the combine 2 years ago off of a two-win season and were able to marshal it this quickly. And a lot of that has to do with you get the right quarterback and that can flip a franchise, you know, monumentally fast. And they, between Chase and Burrow, those were probably two of the better picks made in the NFL in the last few seasons.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Charles, I'm interested in your thoughts on the Texans and what they've done at head coach. Not necessarily the hire itself, because I think Lovie Smith is a good hire. I think he did a great job in Chicago, especially when you look back at what Chicago has been since he left. My question for you is, what do you make of the way that the Texans went about the hire and, you know, the Brian Flores situation, how it impacted Josh McCown? What do you think of that situation? And if you're Lovie Smith, are you look around saying, like, are you going to fire me after 1 year? How do you think Lovie Smith is handling this right now, too?
Yeah, someone asked me, how much I, like, trusted this hire or whatever. I'm like, I'm out. I'm out of the whole trust thing. Like, if you ask me, is there any guarantee that Lovie won't be out, Josh McCown won't be the coach in a year, I'd say there's zero guarantee of that after what happened with Cully. Because I just never could have thought, yeah, they're going to try the one-year thing, and then they're going to attempt to get Josh McCown his opportunity. And that's what they did. I mean, it was clear. It was interesting because I was talking to someone with the Eagles, and their defensive coordinator was amongst the finalists. And you know, they're like, we're going to have to hire a defensive coordinator. I'm like, yeah, probably. I'm like, because when I sit here and I look at these three finalists, one of them's suing, you know, the league and a couple of other teams, and they named the Texans in the lawsuit in terms of having fired Cully. I mean, they basically dragged them. You know, Brian Flores had dragged them in the lawsuit a little bit. They said the other guy's got zero coaching, you know, resume, and if he gets hired, it's going to, at least initially, there's going to be a tidal wave of horrible optics and criticism. You know, so it was just sort of like the candidate that made sense was just the more normalized candidate. Well, then all of a sudden, at the last minute, at that left turn, it really was the last minute. It's like all of a sudden, no, they're thinking about hiring Lovie. And you're like, what? No one involved in the process had heard that. And, you know, I think it was the pressure of optics. I think it was the reality that they were about to do something with Josh McCown that it was sort of like it epitomized that lawsuit from Brian Flores, and it forced them into a situation where they had to look in-house. I will say this about Lovie. After they fired Cully, I talked to somebody in the building, and they were talking about the staff, and they were very complimentary of Lovie. They were like, Lovie did a great job this year. We were really competitive defensively. We kind of had his hands tied in a lot of ways, and they did like what he had done. And I'm with you, Chicago. I went looking back at Chicago. I'm like, man, he is Super Bowl Rex Grossman. I covered an NFC title game where Jay Cutler was starting quarterback. I think they lost Jay in that game. Ended up losing to the Packers by like one touchdown. It was
a better job in Chicago than I really realized. Unfortunately, he went through the Illinois experience, which, you know, Joe and I know it's really difficult to recruit to Illinois, particularly in the era he was there. And they went to the Tampa, you know, and just Jameis was Jameis. And given a different quarterback, that could have been a different outcome. So I don't know. Like I said, it was a weird left turn at the end, but if he gets fired after a year, I mean, like, we're not exiting this right now anyway. We saw Goodell's press conference and, you know, he got grilled on this point. The head coaching stuff and how the hirings are happening, that's not the end. But Josh McCown's going to continue to be a candidate there, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Nice franchises here in the AFC South. Houston and Jacksonville, really some solid decision making going on. So, Charles, you got any Super Bowl parties out there in L.A.? Are you going to L.A. Times Super Bowl party expert Jemele Hill has some tips. I don't know if you read that, but she knows what's up.
Yeah, I did not. I have not read Jemele. I mean, there, you know, you get the invites, but I ended up coming in midweek and. You just can't, you know, me personally, it's just too busy. You know, you have too many, we just shoot a podcast today. We're doing interviews with a bunch of guys on Radio Row and then you got to write something. And it's all crammed in, especially with sort of the way the schedule works now. They shuffled it up but you know, they're doing the Maxim thing. And, I think the media parties at Universal Studios and I'll tell you what, for a destination, when Goodell said it in his press conference, he wants this to be a regular stop. You can see why. I mean, like, L.A. clearly really good at this. And even spread out, it's a pretty good setup. And SoFi is just ridiculous. I mean, that stadium is – you're like, yeah, I can see how this guy went from $2.7 billion to, like, six. Like, this is the worst budgetary management of a stadium in history, but it's – phenomenal.
Pretty good.
No stadium in the league touches this place. I don't know how anyone ever going to overcome that.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, our guest here on Robbie and Retro. Charles, great stuff as always. Appreciate you taking time to join us today. Have fun rest of this weekend out in L.A.
Yeah, I appreciate it, guys. Take care, all right?
Absolutely. Charles Robinson, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll come back. We'll react to what Charles had to say there. Welcome more of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And as we do every Thursday at 9:30, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Hal Gill, Preds radio analyst, brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts, featuring their newest next-gen location at 500 Cool Springs Boulevard. Skillsy, what's going on? How are we doing?
I'm doing great. I just wrapping up watching the rest of USA China. I heard you guys chatting about it. It was nice to see Yipper out there playing.
It was.
Kind of cool.
I did not expect to see that today, but it was nice to see him out there. So that was good stuff. I don't know. What do you think about Olympic hockey without the NHL players in there? Obviously, we know why they're not there. Do you enjoy watching it the same? Is it, you know, it's so different that you don't enjoy watching it? What do you think about Olympic hockey without NHL players there?
Well, it's funny because it's more in the Olympic spirit, I find. You know, as far as a hockey showcase goes, you want to see all the best players from all around the world, NHL included, and you want to see them, like, that's just the ultimate showcase, right? It's almost like an intense all-star game, if you will. But without the NHL there, I feel like it's a lot more even. There's a lot, you know, it's anyone's game. So there's a lot of names that you maybe don't know of that are going out and competing. And I heard you guys saw it. You didn't expect to see Yipper out there, but he's living the Olympic dream. And so I think there's something really cool about the fact that, and to be honest with you, that's what I love about all of the sports, you know, you've seen the Olympics where there's a guy who jumps in the pool and really can't swim, but wanted to swim for Uganda or whatever it is, and goes out and comes in last, and but everyone cheers him as he crosses and gets to the other end of the pool. And I just think there's something cool about that. And so when you have the tournament set up in hockey, you know, it's an even play, more of an even playing field, I think. And you look at all these kids, a lot of Americans and Canadians playing for China. And I think it's just cool that they're getting their Olympic dream. And I just think that's the awesome part, the sportsmanship part of it.
So, Hal, what did you think of the game last night? Obviously, you know, results-wise, not starting the way you wanted to if you're the Predators after the break. It just seemed like it was a pretty sloppy game, penalties all over the place. What did you think of the game itself, and how do you correct some of the stick fouls and penalties that have crept into the Predators game as they move forward here?
Yeah, it's tough. First of all, the game, I thought it was really fast. For a game where the Preds haven't played, they came out guns blazing. I'll give Dallas credit. They circled the wagons and took on a lot of water early on in that game, and the Preds weren't able to score. I think if they score early on, that game becomes very different. But they pushed really hard for 10 minutes, and then it got sloppy. You're right. It was a lot of bouncing pucks. You know, maybe the ice wasn't very great. Whatever the reason was, it became a sloppy game, and then the stick, I'm telling you, like, I love the way the Preds play a physical, hard game, and they take penalties, and I'm fine with that, as long as they're hard penalties. The stick, you know, reaching in and not moving your feet, those penalties have to go away. It's just costing them too many times where they're, you know, not only are they giving up, you know, power play goals, but they're also getting out of their rhythm, and I think they rely so much on their rhythm where they're setting up their forecheck, working the offensive zone, and you have everything going right, and all lines are firing, and then all of a sudden you get stuck where you're, you know, killing a penalty, and then it just goes back and forth, and it kills them. So the ones, you know, in the offensive zone, 200 feet away from, those have to go away. And whether I've had coaches in the past that would fine you for a stick penalty, they'd make you skate after practice. You know, whatever it is, you got to find a way to get those out of the game. You know, you just got to move your feet and keep checking. You know, there's certain penalties, like Roman Josi takes down Ben. That's right in front of your net. You know, if you have to take a stick violation there, that's a totally different story. And so there's some penalties that are you can tolerate and others that you can't. Right now, if there's a weakness with the Preds, it's been over the season. It's been those penalties have really been tough to fight. It's an uphill battle when you're taking those penalties.
How much of them would you say are, you know, just like carelessness in the moment, and how much of it is, you know, you're getting beat. Maybe you should just be moving your feet better. Like, how do you put it in those two categories?
It's tough because, you know, when I played, I came into the league. If you didn't try hard, you were, you know, you'd get booed out. Your coach would boo you, literally boo you on the bench. And now it's almost like, and by saying you try hard, if a guy's beating you, you give him a hook, you grab a hold. Those are all within the rules. So you could, like, out-muscle a guy and fight for it and hook and scratch and claw. And now it's almost like you have to say, I lost that battle, and let it go. You know, and that's hard to do. That's something I was never really good at. And as the game got faster and you weren't allowed to hook and hold as much, you kind of have to say, all right, I lost that battle. I'll just hope that one of my teammates bails me out. And so it's a mental game that you have to play where you want to go as hard as you can, but then you have to just shut it off. And you know, the puck is right there. I can almost get it. I'm just going to get a stick, and I'll just get on his hands. And if I can get a half inch closer, I can affect this play, and you have to let it go. And it's just that's the way the game is now, and you have to be a little bit willing to let that play go ahead, and you lost it, and fight another day.
Hal Gill on the line with us here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts, featuring their newest next-gen location at 500 Cool Springs Boulevard. Hal, we were talking about this earlier in the show, and there was a play with Fabro last night. It's a 2-on-1. Dallas ends up scoring on the play. And they were talking about this on the broadcast in terms of, you know, leaving your feet, laying down, and trying to take away the pass. And obviously Fabro did not take it away there. Just from your mind, what's that like as a defenseman when you're trying to make a decision on what to do when you're the only guy back on a 2-on-1, laying down, trying to take the pass away, trying to take the shooter away? What all goes into that, and how difficult is it to make those decisions on the fly when you're trying to skate backwards and defend?
Yeah, well, a lot of it comes down to there's a lot of information you're taking, right? You're looking at, you know, who's a left shot, who's a one-timer option, who are they? You know, if one guy's a goal scorer, probably want to take it out of his hands. If one guy's more of a passer, you assume he's going to be looking for the pass. And so you have a lot of information to digest right away. And then ultimately, I always found you play to your strong suit. What are you good at? Do you have a good stick? Or, you know, for me, I was a big, long body. I could take away a lot of space if I laid down like Fabro did. You know, it's always a risk either way, whatever you decide to do. You know, but I always laugh because some coaches would be like, never go down, never. And then other coaches would be like, you got to take that away. You got to get that. And so there's split opinions on it. Ultimately, you know, I played with a guy, Andre Markov, in Montreal, a great defenseman, and he had such an amazing stick. He was, if you tried to pass it across, he'd pick it out of the air. He'd deflect it. He just had that skill set. So he never went down on a 2-on-1. For me, I was always try to surprise the guy and try to slide and take away that whole play and defuse the whole situation. So other guys want to just give up the shot. Go ahead, I'll give the goalie the shot and I'll take away the backdoor play. So, I think Fabs made the right play, honestly. You got to get your hands down because I think that one slid under. If I saw that correctly, it slid under. You're waiting for that little sauce pass, and when a guy throws it underneath you, it kind of surprises you. So I think he made the right play, just the execution was off. And if you're going to go down and take the long body, I think it's a great play. It just sometimes it doesn't work out.
Hal, we've talked a little bit on the show today about Saros, who, you know, last night, I mean, I don't think he really had a chance on any of the four goals, given the circumstances, you know, breakaways, power play goals, deflections. He's going to end up with, you know, by far the most work he's had in a given, season. And the schedule's about to become, not this month, but next month, very condensed. What are you seeing from him in terms of, you know, just being able to handle that?
Well, it's. I think there's going to be a lot of conversations between, you know, this month, like you said, is great for him. I think for goalies, and you know, I'm just watching because you can see their habits change. If a goalie is struggling a little bit, you'll see him go on before practice and just do small, you know, technical stuff where it's just tracking the puck onto your stick and deflecting, putting rebounds in a certain spot, and you can see him working on it really slow and deliberate. If a guy is in a rhythm, then they just kind of try to stay in that rhythm as long as they can. But there's ebbs and flows through the season. It's remarkable to me. He hasn't had those bad goals, you know, and knock on wood, he can keep doing that. He's given the Preds a chance to win every night. And, yeah, he's stolen games, but more importantly, he's playing a lot of games, and he doesn't give up those bad goals that play the team. And so that's the number one thing. If he doesn't give those up, then you just got to keep riding him. And, you know, you're going to have to look at his practice habits and take him off the ice. You don't want to overwork him in practice, but he's got to be able to dial it in. I think this month will be a good month for him. Get on the ice with Ben Vanderklok and go through those small little details that keep a goalie sharp. And, you know, it's not a ton of effort to go through that. It's just a focused mental effort, I think. And, you know, we can always pick Chris Mason's brain and see how the goalie mind works. But I think as an athlete, it's just about staying present, staying in the moment and focused on what you need to do, not just physically but mentally.
Before we wrap up, I do have to give Hal Gill a shout-out for some capital J journalism work that he did. The old walk-and-talk pregame interview with Philip Forsberg, dodging Zambonis, dodging forklifts, buses, everything involved. Skillsy, that was well done, my friend. Great job by you.
Oh, thank you. It's never ideal. It's like, yeah, I can get a player interview, but the guy's got to get a bus in 2 minutes. So it's like, hey, let's do the old walk and talk and try not to get killed while we're doing it.
Wherever the story is.
I appreciate it.
That's right. Wherever the story is, Hal Gill will chase it down. Hal, tell us about your friends at Dunkin' with Valentine's Day coming up.
Yeah, let me tell you about my friends at Dunkin'. Yeah, you talked about the newest location at 500 Cool Springs Boulevard, but they're everywhere now in Nashville. I know in Boston there was one on every corner, and so I grew up with them, and I'm loving that they're here in Nashville. You talked about your Valentine's Day. Go get your crush a donut, get something nice, brownie batter, Cupid's Choice, Valentine's Takeover. They have some options. You can go and make someone's day, make your loved one's day. There's also the bagel bites. If you haven't had the omelet bites, they're fantastic. They're bacon and cheddar, and it's top-notch. Tons of protein, one of my favorites. Of course, the coffee is top-notch. It's the best around. I prefer the midnight. It's got a midnight roast, got a little kick to it. So go out there and put a smile on your face, put a smile on someone else's face, and go get your Dunkin'.
Skillsy, you're the best, man. Appreciate you. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
Thank you, guys. Take it easy.
Absolutely. Hal Gill, Preds radio analyst, our guest here on Robbie and Rexo. We'll come back. We'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. The NFL season all comes down to this, Super Bowl 56, and with the Rams taking on the Bengals, to celebrate, FanDuel Sportsbook hooking all customers up with a risk-free same-game parlay. New and existing customers can place any same-game parlay of three legs or more on the Super Bowl, and if you don't win, FanDuel will refund you. Same-game parlays combine multiple bets from the same game into one wager for bigger payouts. Build your parlay your way with spread, Reds, money lines, totals, Super Bowl props, and more. I like the Bengals on the money line. I'm taking the Charles Robinson route on this one as well. Give me Matt Stafford over on passing yards, Ja'Marr Chase over on receiving yards. But you take it any way you want to take it. New customers, join today with promo code ROB to enjoy 56-1 odds on either team to win in the Super Bowl. You can turn a $5 bet into $280 in cash. That's promo code ROB on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. A max refund of $5 unless otherwise specified. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Watching an intense curling match here in the studio between the United States and Sweden, and Matt Hamilton, curler for the United States. I can't tell if he looks more like Taylor Lewan with long hair or if he just looks like Dennis Kelly, but one of the two I'm going with.
Yeah, good and stuff. He's a legend of curling.
Yeah, man.
A little bit of a Lewan doppelganger. Speaking of doppelgangers, you know, that Michelle, when you tweeted out that picture, I thought that was actually like one of those apps yesterday where you put a perm hair on your head, but it actually isn't you.
No, you came in this morning and you're like, Michelle, how did you do that? I was like, no, that is actually my identical twin who was in my sorority like many years before I was.
Do you know her name?
That's yeah. Crazy.
And I looked
you're
her
just
up.
Throwing her picture all over the internet otherwise.
Well, I cropped out the name. But okay. But see, you thought it was me. So well, but I guess now that we said it's not me, I guess.
I mean, I looked at it again today, I'm like, holy,
it does look
crap.
Very similar.
Yeah. Wild.
But wild.
I think.
I DM'd her on Facebook and was just like, hey, this is weird, but we're twins. And I think she blocked me.
Just immediately, oh.
Were you like, hey, wow. I like that perm. Where can I get a perm like that?
Got blocked on Twitter. Sorry. See ya.
Jeez.
The SEC coaches meetings are today.
Yeah. Brian Harsin has arrived.
He's there. He showed up. So it looks like, at least as of now, still planning on being the head football coach at Auburn, I guess. Apparently, there, according to Ross Dellinger, there were, I guess, cameras lined up for like over an hour before the meeting started, waiting to see as to whether or not he'd be there today. He had to drive from Auburn to Birmingham, and apparently just a media circus lined up out there. Brian Harsin has arrived at SEC headquarters.
Meanwhile, on February 8th, I don't know why, but Auburn decided to put a new policy in place on February 8th, on Tuesday, which is that when a university conducts a variety of investigations, employee cooperation in these reviews is essential and mandatory. I'm looking through the policy procedures. Sanctions. There's all these articles of the employee duty to cooperate policy. Brand new. February 8th. Sanctions. Violations of this policy may result in disciplinary action up to and including termination.
Oh, boy.
Very timely of Auburn to put in or alter this policy. Very interesting. Interesting time. By the way, when Bruce Pearl was under FBI investigation for the rampant cheating going on in that program, he did not want to cooperate with investigators. They did not put this policy in place then, though.
They did not.
And I think now they're probably happy they didn't, right? Because, you know, Bruce Pearl's winning big, baby.
Yeah.
But he did just lose the other night.
He did just lose the other night. He's going to have to lose a lot more like that for him to become not untouchable, especially now with that new deal.
Apparently, Mike Bianchi, the Orlando Sentinel, reached out to Gus Malzahn about all this stuff going on at Auburn. And Gus, the Gus bus was not touching that one. Says, quote, "I'm not going to get into what's going on there. I just feel blessed to be here," was the way he ended it. "I just feel blessed to be here right now."
That's still a little bit of a shot.
Gus Malzahn living his best life down in Orlando, UCF.
He's going to be jealous, though, that the, you know, that the buyout may be bigger for Hart. You know, like
oh, yeah, he had to put
who's going to be paid more to not work at Auburn?
Gus had to put in a whole lot more work at Auburn to get his buyout than Harson's about
Brian
to.
Brian comes in and boom, here's 18 mil.
He's at the SEC coaches meeting, so maybe he's ready to go, man. He's going to hire another DC and OC and they'll quit in a month and he can go hire another one. He's going to get a lot of really good practice at hiring his coordinators. That's good stuff.
Man. I wonder if he's only there because of this two-day-old policy.
Well, maybe so.
This isn't cooperating with an investigation, but at least he's like back in the country. That's a start.
Yeah.
What a place.
What a place. SEC football is the gift that keeps on giving. Whether it's Jimbo Fisher going on a rant about how great an institution Texas A&M is and how dare anybody question their motives, or Brian Harsin and all the stuff that's surrounded him the last week, some of which is pretty unbelievable.
Or Nick Saban.
Or Nick Saban. Pretending that money doesn't exist.
Well, he just said we don't. Nick does not give players directly money. I totally believe
him. I buy that.
I totally buy that too. Yeah.
That's what Butch was doing as he was intern for Nick Saban down there.
Cigars and money.
Butch, I need you to go over to Dreamland Barbecue, give me something to eat, and on your way back, hand this sack full of $50,000 to Derrick Henry.
So they use Dreamland bags, not McDonald's bags. See, Tennessee's got to
Step your game up, man.
Got to upgrade a little bit.
Yeah.
Amazing. So Tommy Dees, my old sports editor at the Tennessean, tweeted in response to all this that he's not sure he's seen a circus like this since the Mike Price stuff.
Oh, boy.
And if you remember the Mike Price story, roll tide. It's rolling. If you know, you know.
Yeah, company credit card, man. It's good stuff down there with Mike Price. They went through quite the run of Mikes down there. The Mike Price, Mike Shula, there's Mike DeBose. There's another Mike in there somewhere. A lot of Mikes down there at Alabama.
I mean, it's people could never imagine a world with Alabama not absolutely dominating. I mean, they went through an extended period. It just goes to show you, you know. It's always possible to get out of these things.
Yeah.
Just hire Nick Saban.
Yeah. That's all it takes. I'm interested to see where this goes from the Auburn standpoint. You know, we had somebody mad at us on the text line the other day saying that we unfairly represented the players not liking him because some players have come out in support as well.
Yeah.
Well, that's fine. When you have like 20 guys coming out right. that are mad, there's a problem there somewhere.
No, I mean, it is worth mentioning. It's not across the board.
Yeah.
But like if it's that many, that's not great.
It's usually not a good thing.
That's not great.
Especially while the coach is still employed. Like, we saw all sorts of Tennessee players after he was fired come out and be like, yeah, he's kind of a jerk. Didn't really like that guy.
Exactly.
But while he's still employed, players are coming out.
You're basically saying, please fire him.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a negotiated. They're just going to try to negotiate down. I mean, maybe they're going to try to do the for cause thing, but I don't know, man. I mean, who knows? Is there something sinister in there? Or is it just internet crap? I have no idea.
I don't know. Going to be interesting to see. And then you could start the Urban Meyer to Auburn rumor the next day. We'll look forward to that.
Urban, You can't spell Auburn U without Urban.
That's right.
No, I'm sorry. You can't spell Urban U without Auburn.
Yes.
Auburn rearranges Urban U. That's happening.
That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Darren Donica Chase up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.